Your Honor, may it please the Court, my name is Alan Levin. I represent the petitioner in this case, young child, Eugenio Gallas. And I'd like to reserve a portion of my time for rebuttal. The defendant's interpretation of the facts and circumstances in this particular case are objectionable to me, and I think that the veracity of their pleadings leaves something to be desired.
Well, we start, this is coming up to us on a grant of a motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim under Rule 12b-6. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
So we take the allegations in the complaint as true, and we ask whether or not there's any plausible set of facts that would entitle you to relief.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes. Okay. It's well settled.
As I understand it here, what the district court said is that on the allegations as alleged, and focusing on what appears to be in the complaint, from my reading of the complaint several times, is that you would have attempted to allege a negligence claim and a nuisance claim on behalf of this minor child.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, the district court focused on injury.
That's correct.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Let me ask you this. What's the theory of your negligence claim?
Negligence
has different formulations.
Well, as outlined in the Third Amended complaint, each defendant owed a duty to this little boy to keep their product away from his body.
Okay. That's the duty prong.
That's the duty. All they right. breached that duty by contaminating the environment in which this child plays, the playgrounds, the streets, okay. his own home, and the schools. They contaminated that.
His injury?
The injury is an injury in fact. First of all, it's the exposure, and it's the fear of cancer.
Okay, let's break that down. Exposure. What's the alleged exposure in the complaint?
The alleged exposure is to the known carcinogens in jet fuel.
Well, let me ask you this. Did they spill the fuel nearby?
Yes. They actually ran a pipe under a grammar school that has a 2,000-fold increased incidence of acute lymphocytic leukemia, and we've discovered, and they have discovered, jet fuel in the soil in the playgrounds of that school.
Okay, so he walked on the soil.
He walked on the soil.
So that's exposure.
And he breathed the soil. And he played in the soil.
He breathed
the soil. And the soil got on his skin.
Okay. And so the injury is?
The injury was, at the time, the fear of developing cancer and the increased risk of developing cancer.
Okay. Now, is your claim a straight negligence claim? That is, one who suffers physical injury?
That's correct.
You're not alleging a negligent infliction of emotional distress claim, or are you?
I am not.
You're not. Okay.
So, we've gone through duty, we've gone through breach, we've gone through causation.
Now, let me ask you this. Has the Nevada Supreme Court addressed this particular type of negligence claim?
It's an ordinary negligence claim. Yes.
And this type of injury, the exposure, what's the most analogous case under Nevada law?
I think Badillo may be a case that would be similar, I suppose, but these people claimed that they were exposed to secondhand smoke and they needed medical monitoring for the adverse effects of being exposed to the smoke, even though they did not know they had the disease process.
Which case is that, the
Badillo versus National Brands?
Right.
It's mentioned in the pleadings.
They did.
Potter v. Firestone, of course, is a California case, but that's also similar.
Isn't that the case, though, where they said all we're saying is that this is a potential, medical monitoring is a potential remedy, but that you still have to have a cause of action?
In Badillo, that's correct. In Potter, they said that if you can establish more probably than not that this person was going to develop disease from the exposure, then medical monitoring is a reasonable cause of action in California.
Well, I understand, but we're in Nevada.
So in Nevada, we have Badillo.
What would the Nevada Supreme Court do on an issue it hasn't reached yet? It didn't reach it in Badillo.
In the Badillo decision, the court did say that medical monitoring is a viable remedy for negligence. It's a viable remedy for concealment, which we have here. It's a viable remedy for nuisance, which we also have here.
Well, what do you do with the language I'm looking at? Let's see, this would be, well, on my printout, it's page, it doesn't matter. At any rate, the language towards the end of the opinion where they say, without input from the parties, we decline to consider this overwhelming array of cases, of causes of action to which the remedy of medical monitoring could attach. Moreover, we need not consider an issue that has not been fully raised by appellants or meaningfully briefed by either party. That I read that as saying we don't decide whether medical monitoring is a recognized remedy or not.
Well, in the decision, they state very clearly that medical monitoring is a viable remedy for a cause of action in negligence. What they do state is that medical monitoring in the state of Nevada is not a cause of action, and we are not pleading it as a cause of action. We're pleading.
You're attempting to allege, you've tried to allege a negligence cause of action, traditional, as you put it, cause of action based on negligence.
That's right.
Duty, breach, causation. We don't have to deal with causation. But
duty,
injury.
Breach, causation, damages, yes.
An injury.
Damages, injury, yes.
Injury. Well, you got to have injury to have damages.
Correct. And we have an injury, in fact.
But on this complaint, you hadn't alleged any injury.
Oh, we did.
And that risk, the risk of, the fear of cancer, the fear of contract, of getting cancer, isn't going to do it because it's too, it just isn't recognized, that kind of ephemeral.
Well, it has been recognized. It's been recognized in Friends of All Children versus Lockheed. It's been
recognized. Is that a Nevada case?
No, that's a D.C. Circuit case.
Oh, I'm interested in Nevada law.
Well, in Nevada law, this is a case of first impression, I would guess. But on the other hand, if you look at Badillo, Badillo says that medical monitoring is a viable cause of action in medical monitoring is a viable remedy for a cause of action in negligence.
But in that case, they said we're unpersuaded on the facts of this case, which is the secondhand smoke exposure, to recognize a cause of action or remedy for medical monitoring for exposure to hazardous substances. And that seems to me pretty directly analogous to your theory, which is exposure to the hazardous substances in JP-8 jet fuel.
The court very clearly states that medical monitoring is a viable remedy in the state of Nevada.
Right.
And it's a viable remedy for a traditional negligence, traditional concealment.
As I understand what they said in Bordillo, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but let's just assume you had a classic negligence case, and let's even deal with fuel that you were somehow either for some reason or other the fuel actually all over your body, and it caused some physical reaction to your body. And you, nonetheless, you still had concern about getting cancer down the line from this direct exposure to your body. Seems to me, in that instance, in Nevada, as part of your relief, in addition to whatever damages you might be entitled to for the injury, the physical injury to your body, that under Padilla, that case, that recent case from Nevada, you could get medical monitoring as part of your damages remedy.
Yes.
Now, the problem here is what you've alleged in a traditional negligence, in an attempt to allege a traditional negligence claim, it's there's no allegation here in the complaint, and I guess in federal court pleading, I don't know that you need to make the allegation, that the fuel directly, you know, was on the was on this fellow's body.
There is, though. It's
a reaction to it.
The complaint does state that the child played in the soil that the defendants contaminated, and the complaint also provides incontrovertible evidence.
But it does not allege that he suffered any physical injury.
Factually, he has suffered a physical injury.
Well, I'm
but on the
in the complaint.
Today he's
three times to allege your facts. You don't allege physical injury. Really, what you allege.
Because at the time the child had no detectable physical injury.
What you allege was the fear.
And increased risk, Your Honor. Increased risk is
okay.
A compensable injury.
Hallman said that issue has not been addressed by the Nevada Supreme Court.
The increased risk of – well, in fact, in my 28J supplementation, we showed that, number one, that the children of Fallon do have the genetic mutation that we were pleading for back in 2001. That's number one. Number two, that the state of Nevada has received a grant from the CDC, which is the federal government, to screen for people at increased risk of exposure to radiation, which is the same issue.
But that still doesn't address the concern that we're wrestling with about the actual injury directly to Eugenio.
The injury is an injury in fact, just like with Badillo and also with all of the other cases that I cited outside of Nevada.
Well, let me ask you the follow-on question then. Should we certify this case to the Nevada Supreme Court and ask them to answer the question they left open in Badillo because you've now presented a more concrete set of facts and presumably would be in a position to better brief the issues than the parties in Badillo were able to do?
Yes, sir.
You have a nuisance claim as well.
Okay. Now we have nuisance. In the nuisance issue, the child is a citizen of the United States, and as a citizen of the United States, enjoys constitutionally protected property interests in the home he lives in the streets he walks on, in the lawns he plays in, the parks he plays in, the schools he attends.
Doesn't Nevada law require some sort of an ownership interest in the underlying property in order to avail oneself of a nuisance claim?
No, that's not correct. The Nevada nuisance statute states that that anyone can bring a nuisance claim if his or her property has been his use and enjoyment of the property has been impeded, the use and enjoyment of the property. I have to read to you the statute, and I have it. And so I would like to give you the statute, the argument of that later. But the Nevada statute does allow for children to have a nuisance claim. Let me just.
Does it make any difference whether you call it public or private nuisance?
It's a private nuisance, yes.
Is that because the alleged nuisance affects him in a particularized way that's different?
Yes, because he's a young child and is susceptible to diseases caused by jet fuel. So each and every defendant's conduct allowed jet fuel to permeate uncontrolled into the child's environment, and the use enjoyment of his particular property was negatively impacted. And when I find the Nevada statute, I will read it to you. And then we go to concealment or fraud. And indeed, by the way, medical monitoring is a remedy for fraud and concealment.
What's your evidence of fraud?
Okay. The Third Amendment complaint clearly outlines the time, date, and person and subject of the concealment in this case. And that's clear in the Third Amendment complaint. The reliance is the act of using the property or being allowed to use the home, the streets, the parks, and the defendants have contaminated. And reliance is the act of relying. As a result of his reliance, he suffered an injury, in fact. And by Nevada Pattern Jury Instructions 9.03,
Does Eugenio have to rely, or is it sufficient that his guardian relies?
It's sufficient that his guardian relies, because the knowledge has to be imputed to the baby because he's a baby.
That's where I was going. Okay. Right.
And the guardian allowing him to play on the contaminated property is reliance. And there is a recognized remedy for fraud in medical monitoring. And then the strict liability, ultra-hazardous activities, the cause of action against the non-government defendants. As we outlined, we cannot use strict liability against a governmental entity. The hazard of the activity is not only the nature of the activity, but the magnitude of the activity.
What's the nature of the activity that's hazardous?
Transport of jet fuel.
Underground from pipes?
Underground. With the possibility of leaks. So the transport of 100 gallons of fuel, although it's hazardous, it's not ultra-hazardous. The transport of 30 million gallons of fuel is not only hazardous, but it's ultra-hazardous. So the court erred by dismissing the strict liability claims against the non-government defendants.
I just have one minor question for you. I know you want to save some time, but the city alleged its own particular set of immunities
and
under state law.
Right. And
why isn't it immune from all of this?
Because it did not act in good faith. It's not immune from fraud. It's not immune from concealment. It actually, as you read in the pleadings.
Is the city engaged in the transportation of?
Yes, the city is engaged, is responsible for the transportation of the materials through the city. Plus, it routinely monitors the transportation of jet fuel through the city.
I thought there was a whole federal pipeline board that was responsible.
There is, but the city is also responsible to maintain the integrity of the environment of its children. And the city's responsibility is not preempted by the federal government. And the city has never alleged that it was preempted by the federal government.
That's not the immunity that it claimed.
It claimed sovereign immunity, yes.
It claimed its own immunity under Nevada law.
That's right. But it has to act in good faith in order to maintain that immunity.
All right. You want to save some time?
Yes, I want to save some time.
All right.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, Tom Van Wingarden for Respondent Kinder Morgan Entities. What I'd like to do is just take each of the claims in order. I will be focusing on Nevada law. If the Court would like to discuss a case outside of Nevada, I'm happy to do so. First of all, with regard to the nuisance claim, Nevada does not recognize a public nuisance, so all we're dealing with here is a potential private nuisance. In order to maintain a claim for private nuisance as a matter of law, the plaintiff must have suffered a special injury different in kind and nature to that allegedly suffered by the community at large. Contrary to that, at page 6 of appellant's opening brief, it is stated that Eugene Galaz has suffered a nuisance because he lives in the same community under the same conditions, exposed to the same carcinogens as the children who constitute these clusters, quote unquote. That alone takes this out of private nuisance. It is, even if it were the case.
Then you go on to say that Eugenio had, because the pipes were under his apartment or whatever, the school, that he had an increased fear of contracting cancer, which is different in kind than the fellow down the block at the park.
It's
pipes don't.
It's really the basis for it. It's not his really subjective intent on the special injury element of a private nuisance. If a pipeline were to run through the town, for example, that may or may not affect the entire community. There is no specific injury to this individualized plaintiff. In other words, for example, if we took a landfill as an example, the residents that abut the landfill may have a particular injury for, you know, landslides or something like that, that would be different from the surrounding community at large, who perhaps are upset that the fact that the landfill exists. But there's nothing here that even indicates a particular special injury to this appellant. The fact of the matter is there is no injury.
What about the claim that the pipeline under the school leaked?
There's nothing in the complaint that indicates where there was any leak, if there was any leak at all at any time. And I'd ask the Court to go ahead and take a look at that complaint.
Well, I frankly was surprised because I hadn't read it in the complaint. I'm not sure where that comes from.
Right. I don't know, Your Honor.
Let's just take the – may I just follow up on that? What if there had been a break in the pipe, a break in the pipe where there's fuel all over the place?
Mm-hmm.
Kids are exposed to it. Would that, and the fumes are all over the town, could they allege a nuisance claim on the theory that they were particularly, the direct exposure was different than the guy down the street?
Potentially, the problems with alleging a nuisance claim at all, even under those circumstances, are the property interest issue, which the Court brought up before. I mean, there is the special injury issue, which we've touched upon a little bit. In and of itself, that's enough to dismiss a nuisance claim. But in addition to that, there is no injury here, special or otherwise. Again, enough to dismiss that cause of action.
The negligence cause of
action. Correct, and I will certainly get to that. With regard to a nuisance, it's undisputed that this appellant has no property interest that was affected, and I wanted to simply touch upon that. The statute that Mr. Levin was referencing was the Nevada Revised Statute. It's 40.140. It's cited in the briefs. The fact of the matter is the statute appears in the Nevada Revised Statutes under actions and proceedings in particular cases concerning property. The second item here is Nevada has been clear about the category of matters which fall within this statute. They are not personal injury. The Fogg case and the Coughlin case, both cited in our briefs, state that private nuisance is an action concerning real property. It's not real property of another. It's not community real property. It is the it would have to be the appellant's real property. The unless there are questions about the nuisance claim, on strict liability, the Nevada law recognizes the criteria set forth in Restatement Section 520 for strict liability claims. There are a variety of cases. I won't spend a lot of time on this at all, but the operation of a pipeline is not, as a matter of law, an ultra-hazardous or abnormally dangerous activity. With regard to fraud, and I would like to back up for a brief second. I want to make sure we're clear, is this claim was brought by the guardian on behalf of the child.
Right.
The child was 17 months old at the time the complaint was filed. At the time, the alleged statement made by Kinder Morgan representative had occurred, this child was 8 months old at the time. I do not believe, and I respectfully disagree with Mr. Levin, that the guardian's reliance, if there was any pled, and there has not been, is sufficient. This individual, Eugenio Gavas, is the only plaintiff in this case. to briefly touch upon the fraud, there's certainly no allegation that Eugenio Galaz ever heard the statement, that there was any reliance, any change of position, any defend or any respondent ever intended to induce any such reliance. And again, there is no damage. On negligence, we disputed that there was ever any allegation that a duty was owed to the public at large. Certainly there's no allegation of causation. I'm not sure how you can make an allegation of causation if you haven't suffered an injury. And again, Nevada law in the case of Scialaba v. Brandeis Construction Corporation, damages and injury are absolutely required to maintain a claim of negligence in Nevada.
Well, claim of injury is the increased risk of fear of cancer.
Fear of cancer.
Or this sort of indirect exposure by walking on the soil.
And I understand.
Is that sufficient under Nevada law?
It is not.
To constitute injury?
No, it is not.
Have they ever addressed any case that even touches on this?
Fear of cancer is distinct, and I'll address them in order, from a medical monitoring cause of action or remedy. No Nevada Supreme Court or otherwise has ever addressed a fear of cancer claim. It doesn't exist currently in the state of Nevada. It has not been suggested, and it has not been ruled upon in any fashion. The Badillo Court, on the other hand, addressed whether or not a medical monitoring cause of action existed. It clearly stated that such a cause of action did not. It suggested that perhaps a remedy of medical monitoring could attach to a cause of action. Now, I believe, by implication, that cause of action, if in fact any medical monitoring remedy would attach to it, would have to be viable in and of itself.
Correct.
And as part of a viable cause of action, injury must be pled. Now, further, the Callaway case and the Havas case, both cited in the briefs, state that in the state of Nevada, present physical injury is required to pursue a tort action. Nevada, unlike some jurisdictions that have not required a present physical injury for maintaining a medical monitoring cause of action, is unique in and of itself. Nevada requires, even for a negligent infliction of emotional distress claim, a present physical injury.
Or a physical response to emotional distress.
Correct.
So
a physical manifestation
in
yes.
response to the emotional distress.
Yes, and we do not have that here.
Should the Nevada Supreme Court be given an opportunity to address that issue?
Your Honors, I heard this question before and took a note. The record here is certainly, I believe, less than Badillo when it went first the question. I don't believe that this record provides any additional information. The court expressly rejected consideration of whether or not medical monitoring is a remedy, and by extension, what cause of action would it attach to, on an insufficient record. I don't think we have the record here. I don't think we would expect a different response.
Well, what?
So you think if we certified it, they'd simply say we don't choose to answer it because it's just not ripe, or ripe's not the right word, but not sufficiently developed?
I do, Your Honor. That's what they did do in the Badillo case.
Well, I thought the way that the district court phrased the certification question in Badillo was a bit odd because it conjoined the two, and I can see why the Nevada Supreme Court decided to answer the first part of the question and leave the second. I mean, we could frame the question pretty specifically, but that doesn't address your concern, which is the record sufficiently developed?
Right. I think, frankly, that even if we assumed today, based on the Third Amendment complaint, that a medical monitoring remedy existed in the state of Nevada, I think that the second question is, would a present physical injury be required? I think the answer in Nevada would be no. Would be yes.
That solves the problem.
That a present physical injury would in fact be required. But putting all that aside, The strict liability cause of action is properly dismissed as a matter of law. The fraud claim, there is no reliance pled. There's no intent to induce that has been pled. That is properly dismissed as a matter of law. The negligence claim, certainly causation has not been pled. Duty has not been pled. That is properly dismissed as a matter of law.
Well, you know, we're in Rule 8 pleading rules. That is, you basically have to give notice of your claim. And, you know, in California, you have to, it's code pleading. You have to allege each one of the little elements.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they've alleged a negligence claim here. District court said you can't prove any kind of physical injury.
Mm-hmm.
That's required under Nevada law. But Nevada law really hasn't addressed that issue.
But I do think as a legal matter, if there no duty exists, I don't think the cause of action should be maintainable to conduct discovery or otherwise, if it is subject to dismissal as a matter of law.
Why isn't there a duty here to avoid negligent conduct that might that would be reasonably foreseeable that children playing above where the pipes are running might be exposed to a serious toxin?
It's hard to answer that. If there was an allegation in the complaint that, in fact, a leak occurred under a school or somewhere else, I could respond to this much more effectively. But without that, if that were to happen, is there a duty? I believe that there is. There's no allegation that that happened.
I mean, it would almost require proof that the pipeline company didn't adequately send pigs through the pipeline to inspect the seams and that sort of thing. But you still would need an actual event. You'd need a discharge.
That's exactly right.
Well, I don't know if the government's going to argue or not.
Yes.
With respect to the government, they say that the planes come over and they, you know, discharge their fuel from the jets.
Right. And I will let the government argue that. We're going to split time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, Don Lattin on behalf of the City of Fallon. And as the Court pointed out earlier, the City has some different immunities which we are alleging as to, as matters of law, why we should be out of the case. And the two that I want to address are, first of all, the discretionary function immunity. And it is clear by the state law that we cited in our brief that this is a discretionary function. The monitoring of hazardous waste in the state of Nevada are monitored both by the state of Nevada and the federal government. It's solely within their purview to do that. The city has not taken on any responsibility to monitor those activities. So under the discretionary function doctrine, we would have that immunity as a matter of law, regardless of what the facts are. In addition to that, there is what the Court has talked about already, the public duty doctrine. And the city, regardless of the duty to the private entities, the city's duty is to the public at large. Counsel for the appellant has talked about bad faith. That is not a legal exception. The only legal exception under Nevada law to the public duty doctrine is if there is an affirmative cause of liability or some special relationship. Neither one of those were alleged, and there's nothing in the record that would support that there was an affirmative cause by the city that would give a duty to this individual. So under the public duty doctrine, the city's duty is to the public in general. There cannot be liability on the basis of negligence for an individual. So under
public duty theory.
Yes, under the public duty theory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with regard to the fraud claim, as the lower court indicated, there were three different times when he had the opportunity to allege these with specificity. With regard to what he alleges that the city did, there was a public meeting where the mayor and the city attorney allegedly made some statements. This was done when the child was 9.5 months old. Now, there was a question, is it sufficient for the guardian to have heard these statements? I agree with what counsel for the other respondent, Kendra Morgan, indicated, but in addition to that, I would like to state there is nothing in the complaint that indicated that the guardian was at this meeting and heard the statements, even if the law did allow it. So he did not allege with specificity, despite being given three opportunities, with regard to what the city's fraud claims are. With regard to the medical monitoring claim, and with regard to the question as to whether or not this court would certify it to the Nevada Supreme Court, I do not believe that this is an appropriate case to do that. And the reason for that is there is not a viable underlying claim to which the medical monitoring remedy can attach. And we've gone over the negligence, we've gone over the nuisance claims. Under the current state of the law in the state of Nevada, there has to be a viable remedy to which medical monitoring, or a viable claim, a viable claim, cause of action, to which medical monitoring can attach. We don't have that.
Are you saying that he would have to allege actual physical injury?
Yes. Under the Havas case and the other cases that we've cited, there has to be physical injury in the state of Nevada for a negligence claim.
And is that well settled in Nevada?
That's well settled.
The type of injury that's alleged here, the increased fear of cancer,
that
is not going to do it?
Under the current state of the law.
You know, Nevada, you know, I find it interesting. Nevada looks heavily to California law, and California, I think, has recognized that.
We who practice in Nevada on a regular basis might disagree with that.
Well, you know, they adopt, in one of these cases I was reading on negligent infliction of emotional distress, you know, I should say Nevada's not the only one, but they look to California, at least in negligent infliction of emotional distress, they look to Dillon versus Legg, what the Cal Supreme Court did in Dillon versus Legg.
I would agree with that in some areas, but if you look at the employment law area, they would go to Arizona or they would go to Utah. So it
depends.
It depends. Yes, but my point is that for the medical monitoring remedy, I do not believe the Supreme Court of the state of Nevada would address it unless this court found that there were viable causes of action to which that remedy could attach.
They said you need a viable cause of action,
yes,
in order for the remedy to attach. And the question is, do they have a viable cause of action here in negligence?
And we have the underlying court, district court, Judge Mahan, saying that there were not viable causes of action.
Right, but we review that determination.
Right. I understand that.
It's a pure legal question for us.
I understand that. But I believe and I agree with counsel for Kinder Morgan that the state of the record in this case is not nearly as sufficient as the Badillo court case was, and they didn't accept it under that case. And I agree that the question maybe wasn't as artfully set forth as it could have been, but they still had the opportunity to take it under a set of facts that there was a better, more well-established record, which we do not have in this case.
Okay. You want to share time with the
I do want to. I do want to share time, but
down to
okay. Thank you.
But we might give them an added minute or two.
Your Honor, I see I have just 12 seconds, but with your indulgence, may it please the Court, Adam Bain for the United States. And I agree with the arguments that have been made previously by counsel for the other defendants, is that Nevada has long recognized that there must be a present manifest physical injury. And in order to recognize or to rule for the plaintiffs in this case, the Court would have to change that requirement. For any tort claim that's been brought under Nevada, that is a requirement. And I agree with the previous counsel that this case should not be certified to the Nevada Supreme Court for the two reasons given. There's not a record that's any better than there was in the Badillo case. And also, because it has to be tied, if there is a remedy at all, to an underlying tort cause of action, then there must be a present manifest physical injury. And the mere exposure to contaminants is not sufficient. And there's one case I would like to point this Court to, which is in a very similar posture to this case, and that was the Fourth Circuit's decision in Ball versus Joy, in which the plaintiff sought both emotional distress and medical monitoring under West Virginia and Virginia law. And the federal court in that case said, those states have a long-standing present physical injury requirement, and we're not going to create a new remedy and do away with that requirement. And they were seeking both medical monitoring and emotional distress in that case. And the court referenced numerous courts which have held in similar circumstances, which is alleged exposure to contamination, that the mere exposure is not a sufficient injury under state tort law to sustain those type of causes of action. So in this circumstance, this court should defer to the Nevada courts and to their longstanding requirement that there be a present manifest physical injury that has not been pled in plaintiff's complaint. And therefore, this court on this record can affirm the district court for that reason. And unless the court has any other questions, I would just leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay. Counsel, I believe you have just a few minutes, 2 minutes for rebuttal.
First of all, Nevada Revised Statute 40.140 states in pertinent part, the action may be brought by any person whose property is injuriously affected or, and the or is underlined, whose personal enjoyment is lessened by nuisance. So the or means that it's someone who is not a property owner who can bring it. The or is any person, either a property owner or not a property owner. And that's very clear.
In the absence of an injury, how has the infant's use and enjoyment of the property been interfered with here?
Well, I don't think that you would like your child to be
No. We're not talking about the guardian here. We're talking about injury to Eugenio.
It's the increased fear of cancer and the unequivocal.
How can he have a fear? It's his mother who.
It's imputed to his mother. Yes.
The counsel says there's no Nevada case that accepts that theory. What's your best case to support the proposition that we can infer that he is suffering as a result of what she knows?
Well, Nevada has, and it's in the pleadings, a number of statutes allowing guardians to and parents to bring causes of action against tortfeasors for their children.
Where there's a direct injury to the child, yes. But my question here is you're trying to impute a mental state, the fear of cancer, to an infant that probably doesn't even know what cancer is at this point.
It's not a mental state. It's the reliance. It's the act.
Okay, so what's your best Nevada case?
I can just give you the Nevada Badge Eye, the Nevada Pattern Jury Instructions, 99.
All right. I'll look at it.
Okay, the other one is the specific leak. We have proven in this particular, in the court.
You've alleged.
Say again?
You've alleged.
Well, we have provided evidence that
petroleum
products in the soil and the pipeline as it passes under EC Best, and that's the supplemental expert excerpt of records 214.
I'm only concerned what's in the complaint.
Yeah, where is it in your complaint?
The complaint is
up here on a motion to dismiss. So we look at the allegations in the complaint. We look at anything that's attached to the complaint, and we look at anything we can take proper judicial notice of,
which is the excerpt of records, and which is the pleadings in the lower court.
I won't respond.
Okay.
Any other point you wish to make? In your remaining moment, seconds?
Yes. In terms of the notice of the meeting that we described in the concealment claim was published in the newspaper and also was on the local television, so the Guardian did see those statements.
Is it alleged in the complaint that that was on the television and the Guardian observed the television show?
It's general knowledge. It was generally distributed, and yes, the Guardian did see it.
I think the answer is no.
It's not in the complaint.
Right.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The matter will be submitted in
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We'll take the court will be in recess for 10 minutes.